I'd like to start out by saying how much I have enjoyed what's taken place thus far today. It has really been a pleasure in every way, hoping, trusting that any good that I had to say this morning was of the Lord, and He receives the glory from that, and I thoroughly have enjoyed both times that Will has delivered the message and appreciate what he's had to say and his insight into God's Word. Also appreciated the meal, the work that went into that, and the preparation that took place. And to kind of continue with where my thoughts were this morning, we can take something like lunch, which we all enjoy, right? Yeah. And it's a blessing, and it's not just used for our energy. Right? It's not just used to sustain us. And what ideally could take place as we attempt to redeem the time and take the good gifts of God, what ultimately should happen for us as believers is that we can take a good gift and it doesn't just end with the food. Right? It's enjoyable. Like Will mentioned when he got up here, it's something that we have been commanded to do, something that we can enjoy. And then better yet, when we finish, it's not finished. Right? Because it should ultimately turn into worship. Right? God's good gifts, as we redeem them and we bring them back to who has made them, who they are for, right? To our Redeemer. As we work those things back, God's good gifts don't stop. Right? They don't stop in and of themselves. They work in the redeemed heart that ultimately should give us a better picture of God's goodness, right? And should turn into worship. And that kind of, there's a preview for where I'm headed, if the Lord is willing, this afternoon. So quickly to recap, this morning we talked about redemption. We talked about the reason that we needed redemption, right? The reason that we need redemption. We live in a fallen world, right? We live in a Genesis 3 world, not a world in Genesis 1 and 2, the very good world that God created, but we live in the fractured, broken away from God, fallen world. And then we continued to see how that we are the utmost embodiment of that. Right, that we continue to try to make God of ourself. Right, we try to be God of our own lives, and that manifests itself in a lot of different ways. As we attempt to do that, as we attempt to continue to commit this original sin of being as God, right, just like Eve was. And so that looks a lot of different ways. We look to ourselves, we rebel, we actively and passively both go against what God says. We lack trust, we want control, we try to use our works to gain a right standing rather than trusting in what Christ has done on our behalf. We look to other people, and we abuse God's gifts, and we worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator as we try to become God in our own lives. And just like the Israelites, I think we can see that root there with what they did, right? They get to the edge of where God has led them, and they say, God, I know you brought us this far, but I think I know better than you, right? In my limited life and what I've seen of just out of my eyes, somehow I know better than you that has been always and seen everything from every perspective, yet in our finite minds we continue to tell God that we know better, right? And we lack the ability to trust, and once again, that works its way in where we try to become God in our life. And so we talked about that we have received redemption, right? And that it's twofold, that Christ has redeemed us, that His work is complete, that it's finished, that it's perfect, and that there is a day of redemption to come, when everything will be made perfect. And so as we worked through that, we also saw that Christ was not absent at creation, that Christ was there. And not only was He there, by Him all things were created. and not just created by Him, but created for Him. Right? Not just created by Him, created for Him. Colossians 1:16. And so we are looking, and if you want to work your way back, let's see. Yeah, back to the book of Ephesians. We'll pick up where we left off in Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 15 through 17 was kind of our home this morning. And so we have redemption in Christ, and we are waiting for our ultimate redemption one day. And through this, we are attempting to live a redeemed life. Right, we're trying to live a redeemed life out of obedient, out of loving obedience for what Christ has done for us. Not just for us, right? We're not attempting to redeem the time just for me, but I want to redeem the time back to the one that everything was created for. Right? And so I'm redeeming the time, I'm living a redeemed life for Christ. And so that's kind of where we left off. So again, Ephesians 5, 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. So, a couple questions. How do we live a redeemed life? How do we live a redeemed life as we are called to live? And I think that we can contrast a few things that we see just here in this passage. We see that we are to walk circumspectly. We're to walk carefully. We're to walk with observance, not as fools, but as what? As wise. Okay? So we can go ahead and start to see. The redeemed do not walk in foolishness. They walk toward wisdom. Okay? And so we can start to draw that parallel there. And we see another one as we go through. We redeem the time because the days are evil. Right? The days are evil. Like we talked about this morning in the introduction, not only do we live in a very comfortable and convenient time, we live in a time that where death is not always at our doorstep, it doesn't seem, right? We've got these blinders on. We trust in modern medicine, we trust in protection, we trust in technology, and it does not feel like death is at our doorstep, right? Especially us younger people, we haven't seen firsthand, or at least been alive during some of these major atrocities that have plagued the world. And so we struggle with that, but the Bible tells us, and it's clear, and we can look at history and see numerous examples, or we can see numerous examples in God's Word, that the days are evil. The days are evil. And so if we're going to redeem the time, there is a contrast there that we can see between redemption and evil or corruption. All right, so we have wise and foolish. We have redeemed or corrupt and evil. And so, and it kind of reiterates it in verse 17 that, and it answers one of the questions. Don't be unwise. All right, the foolish don't understand what the will of the Lord is. Can we not get that understanding from verse 17? Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So the wise understand what the will of the Lord is. The unwise do not. The foolish do not. So, I think that we can pull a lot from this passage and start to see how we can live a redeemed life. Let's undo or redeem, buy back some of the examples from earlier. I remember that we have been redeemed in Christ. All right? That is first and foremost, right? Christ has paid the ransom. We were bought with a price, and His blood has made that purchase, and now it is on us as the redeemed, as Christ followers, as kingdom workers here in the world to give our Redeemer, to redeem back those things that were created by Him and for Him, okay? And so a few examples as we do the redeemed work here. Let's look at ourselves, right? That was part of our fallen place that we continue to look to try to get these answers, right? We continue to try to look, and if I can just be better in this way, then I can save myself, right? Then I can answer this call that needs to be answered. And we are not God. We're not God. And our rebellion and lack of trust can be redeemed. All right, it can be. It can be redeemed by willing and active obedience. Right? By willing and actively laying down ourselves, by putting ourselves down and magnifying our Redeemer, right? The one that deserves to be magnified. And so as we try to walk carefully, circumspectly, and live a redeemed life, it starts by putting ourselves down and magnifying Christ. All right? If we can start by taking away that original place that we continue to try to go of making ourselves be God, we'll take a good step towards redeeming the time and living as the redeemed. Another opportunity for us to walk as the redeemed that we talked about this morning, we have a lack of trust that leads to anxiety, fear, depression, that leads to addiction, right? A lack of trust where we look into all these different things of the way that we're going to find our answer. I'm going to find my answer here. All right, I continue to pour myself into that, and guess what? We never find it. Or I withdraw within myself, and I just can't trust. I can't let it go. I can't let it go, whatever it is. I won't hand it over to the Lord. I'm going to hold on to it. I got to micromanage it until it becomes a sin in my life because I just obsess over it. And that's a lack of trust. So if we will trust and we will listen and we will commit ourselves to God's Word and understand and feel His Spirit, knowing that our debt has been paid, we can start to let go, right? We can start to let go of those things that we hold on to, and we can begin to redeem the time. Another example is our works-based righteousness that we can twist, right, and hold on to so dearly that we aren't being obedient for Christ's sake, but we're being obedient for our sake, attempting to save ourselves. And instead of doing that, we could lovingly serve and ultimately worship the completed and perfect work of Jesus Christ. All right, we can recognize our position as being redeemed, right, as being blood bought, as having a price paid for us and seeing our worth in what Christ has done for us, rather than trying to create worth in ourselves by our good deeds. And we can let go. We can start to live a redeemed life. We can take these good relationships that God has given us among one another, right, with our spouses, with our children, and we can redeem our relationships. We can give them back to Christ. We can stop trying to make our wives and our husbands be what we could never be. We can stop trying to project things onto our children and put a burden on them where they can't thrive into who they're supposed to be because we want them to be something that we can't. And we can redeem those relationships by trusting and leading faithfully and being an example and being known, right? Like I mentioned this morning, we try to hide and we want to project things onto other people. And so if we give those good gifts of relationships that God has given us and we create godly relationships that are in accordance with the Bible, that trust and know that Christ is our all in all, and we work to make Him known in those relationships, then iron can sharpen iron, right? And then those relationships, instead of me dragging you down, trying to make you be what I can't, we work together and we could be more than we could ever be apart. So we can redeem our relationships. Next, God's good gifts, like I mentioned. Lunch this afternoon, right? That's an example. But we can start using God's good gifts in a godly way that results in more joy and more worship in the Creator and use them for Christ's sake rather than our own. A lot of these things of God's gifts are things that we relate, that they just, we've twisted them in this fallen world to become very sinful when they're good gifts, right? Like intimacy between a man and a woman is meant for marriage, and it is a very good gift that God has given us. And our culture has taken that, and just we as fallen people have taken that, and when it's applied correctly, right, and it's exercised in the right way, it is a beautiful, godly gift that should ultimately be, again, not an end in itself, because there's lots of people in the world that love intimacy, and then when the intimacy's over, there's something wrong in their heart, right? And it does damage to our souls. But when we redeem that, when we use that as it should, we have a better relationship, and we ultimately, what's it do? It rolls up into worship, right? And we should take all the good gifts that can so easily be abused. We can overeat, right? We can enjoy the food too much, where it becomes an issue for our health. Yeah? Or we can enjoy it the right way. All right? So many things that God has given us that are good gifts, money, power, if those are used correctly and in a godly way, what a blessing. Let's take those back, right? Let's redeem those back to the one that they were created by and created for, and redeem God's good gifts back to our Redeemer. And that's part of living a redeemed life. So just a few to continue on that we can draw out just from this passage of Scripture. The redeemed, they use their time wisely, right? They understand that it's something that we can't get back, right? And that our time is to be used for a purpose, and that we have a greater purpose. And so we use our time wisely. The redeemed work, they repent, and they work to do, they do kingdom work here on earth while they have time. And then lastly, they take those things and they turn God's good gifts and the things that have been redeemed from this broken world, they use them in a godly way, and ultimately the redeemed will worship and should worship in a greater and greater capacity the more grasp we have on what God's will is for us to do. Right? And like I said this morning, we're fallen creatures, and it's difficult, but the more that we can strive for that, and the more that we can hold on to, and the more that we can stop saying, God, I know better than you, and we can lay ourselves down and just seek what God would have for us in all these different avenues, the better that we ultimately can worship Him. Continuing on, this verse, our passage talks about the wise. A few things we know that the wise do is they walk circumspectly. All right? They walk carefully. And we're going to contrast. I have a list of things that the Bible says that fools do. And there is a great contrast between those that walk in wisdom and those that walk foolishly. But let's not try to think about those people that we know that are walking in foolishness. Let's try to think of ourselves and times that we've done it, because we are guilty. The wise walk circumspectly. They walk carefully. They're observant. All right? They're intentional with their time. They know that that water is going to pour out somewhere. All right? And let's use it rightly. The wise redeem the time, and the wise understand the will of God. Verse 17, they understand what the will of the Lord is, and they work in their lives to bring that about, all right, to make that manifest itself more and more and more here in the fallen world compared to the fool. And you can search these and find them, but just a list when you bring it up, the one that just jumps out probably for most of us is the fool says that there is no God, right? Fool says in his heart that there is no God, which goes back to what? That place we started, right? there either is no God or I know better than he does. And that's foolish. The Bible says that the fool goes out with a lamp with no oil. Goes out with a lamp with no oil. I can see myself in that in a variety of ways. It lacks preparation, lacks being intentional, lacks using things for its desired use, right? It lacks ability to see. There's lots of things that go along, but the fool uses lamps with no oil. Bible tells us that the fool builds his house on the sand. There's much that can be said there, but we know, and it just jumps out at me to kind of relate that back to time. And things are shifting, right? And where we don't have a solid foundation, the ultimate result is going to be crumbling. It says the fools are hasty to be angry. Fools are hasty to be angry. The fool talks too much. The fool talks too much. I'll be finished in just a minute. It says that the fool thinks too highly of themselves. All right, the fool thinks too highly of themselves. It says that the fool returns to his folly like a dog to vomit. All right, the fool returns to his folly, to his foolishness, to the thing that made him the way that he is, right? Like the dog to vomit. The fool despises wisdom. The Bible says that the fool despises wisdom. A fool is grief to his father and bitterness to his mother. A fool plucks her house down. A fool plucks her house down. And a fool, she's clamorous, simple, and knows nothing. Now, as we attempt to do the Lord's work here in this life, and we're not of the work of populating heaven, we are of the work of helping draw into Canaan, right? And we are of the work of letting our Redeemer be made known. And then, as we continue to grow in our walk, as we continue to understand what the will of the Lord is, then we can start to put away the foolishness, right? To put away the brokenness and start to walk in a redeemed way, right? To start to walk wisely and start to see our lives ultimately as an instrument for His glory, right? As something that can take what is broken and through Christ, return it back to Him. Right? Take something that has been undone, and just like work, right? Work is a good gift. Work comes before the fall. There is good work to do. Right? And work is a good thing, and we are to work towards this redeemed life. And like Will said, our position in salvation, our role in salvation is being the one that pulls away, is not the work that we do while we're here to bring about God's will. We are active in that pursuit. We are motivated purely by love in that pursuit because somebody has paid our ransom in a way that we never could. Right? In a way that we could never even attempt to, could never draw close to, our debt's been paid. And that deserves our whole life. I appreciate your attention, your prayers, the love that you have shown me as I've attempted to deliver this word. Anything that was a benefit is the Lord's, and anything that was amiss, that's my fault. Thank you.